We rise. To you who are elect, according to the foreknowledge of the Father, sprinkled with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and sanctified by his Spirit, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Our text continues where it left off last week with the account of Pentecost, the words of Peter, Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made me to know the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, nothing is certain but death and taxes. These words of Benjamin Franklin sound whimsically true. For what is more certain in this life than death itself? Peter stands up with something to say on the matter of certainty. There's good reason to open our ears, because the Holy Spirit is being poured out even now, even still today, to make these things known to you. Men of Israel, hear these words. Peter stands up to preach, not what you already know about death, but something you would never have known if it were not for the triune God. If the Father did not plan a salvation to send his Son for your sins, if not for the Son who rose from the dead to declare life to you, if not for the Spirit who makes known the work of the Father and the Son, all this would remain an uncertainty. And all we would know would be that we're going to die someday. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The triune God is sure your salvation is assured. We pray, dear Father, Son, and Spirit, as you came to us, give us certainty in our baptism, so come to us today and make us know assuredly that we are saved forever. Amen. Prove it. My dad can lift 1,000 pounds. You can hear the kids on the playground saying, prove it. Jesus had to prove it. He had to prove himself because, as Peter says, he was a man. He looked like a man, he walked like a man, and he suffered like a man. So prove it. This was the charge being leveled against Jesus. Prove that you are the Christ, the chosen Savior. Jesus, in Luke 5, did just that. When he says, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately the man did stand up and go to his house. Jesus was a man, but he was attested by God. Proven, that is, literally. Proven by miracles, wonders, and signs. And Peter directs this right to his audience. You know it. You've seen it. You've heard it. He was right in your midst doing it. Nothing is sure but death and taxes. Who would believe that this is the Christ? Even after all the miracles, it was he who was crucified, who died. Death is a common certainty for all of us. Sin binds us to a curse. Pain, troubles, sadness are all part, all symptoms of the inevitable death that permeates this creation. Tornadoes devastate whole communities in a matter of minutes. Cancer continues to haunt the hereditary gene pool that maybe is in your family. An accident leaves the injured paralyzed. All these symptoms witness to sin and the curse, the reality and certainty of death. As Paul writes in Romans 8, the whole creation groans and labors together with birth pangs until now, waiting for the glorious liberty, the redemption of the sons of God. God must become mortal man. Jesus must face the groaning, the labor, the suffering. He must feel the pain and the troubles that you and I know. Jesus would be delivered into the hands of lawless men. And why? Why would this happen to God's Son? Verse 23, he was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. The triune God had orchestrated this plan long before Judas held those 30 pieces of silver in his hands. Although the people were indeed at fault for what happened, God had not lost control, even as he has not lost control in what's going on today. We hear the words, you crucified him. And what do we think? Boy, I'm glad that wasn't me. I'm glad I didn't kill Jesus. Well, what if it were you or I? What if we were in that angry mob determined to crucify Jesus, shouting? Would we stand up and tell them to stop? Do we stand up when God's name is taken in vain? When somebody says, Jesus Christ, for no reason? Or, oh my God. Do we stand up when we see people being ganged up on, taken advantage of? If it was left to you or I, Jesus would still be in the grave, a man. But Jesus stood up. He stood up to the pressure. When everyone else was yelling, "Crucify him," he went willingly. Jesus must have no doubt that the Father will keep his promise. He must have perfect love that the Father will not forsake him. And so we read the words of David from Psalm 16. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Centuries before Jesus was born, wisdom was speaking. The confidence of Jesus' faith. In the face of death, he sees the face of the Lord. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face." These are the eyes of faith. He rejoices. Jesus was not shaken when he went into death for you. Assuredly, it says in verse 36, "No, assuredly, I say to you that God has paid for the worst of sins. He has overcome the worst pain. Death could not hold Jesus in the grave. God has taken the wicked plans of our lawless hands into his own hands. And he has overcome them. It was not possible that he could be bound to the pains of death. God has raised up this Jesus, so your salvation is assured." At the nursing home last week, someone stopped me and asked, "What is God's plan for me?" I was in a rush to shake hands and get to everyone, and I forgot to come back and answer her question. Well, I saw her on Friday when I was there again, and I told her, "God's plan is to make you sure of your salvation. He wants nothing else than for you to be fully confident that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is yours. To doubt it, none." He has proven it. Prophecies in the Old Testament predict with amazing detail the suffering and the resurrection of Christ. The New Testament testifies with amazing honesty that this really happened, that the disciples really doubted, they really didn't believe it, even when they saw him with their own eyes, and yet it happened. As Peter says in verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." The disciples saw the resurrection of Jesus. They sat and ate fish with him. They touched him with their own hands. Paul writes that at one time over 500 at once saw this Jesus with his resurrected body. It is a sure thing. Salvation is sure. And we remain unsure. There was a lady in Oklahoma who had her house struck by a tornado for the second time. They said it was a 1 in 100 trillion chance that this would happen. That in one lifetime, the same person would have their house destroyed twice by a tornado. People are searching for something reliable. It may take the form of money. It may take the form of a secure job, good health, or one's own works. And yet all these things left to themselves crumble. The first commandment calls for something we could never produce on our own. The loss of all these measurable gods, these temporal gods in our life, for one true eternal God. Because the first commandment cannot be fulfilled by your works or mine. It's fulfilled by faith. By faith in the one who died and rose and is now declared Lord in Christ. 33, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Here's a 3-in-1 chance for you to be saved. Because it is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all declared in this verse, that makes you confident of things you can't see. The Holy Spirit must be poured out. It takes you back to your baptism. As we start every service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that is taking you to your baptism, which has brought God's name to you, has placed the forgiveness of sins on you, has declared you one of God's children where there are no more other gods but the one true God. Even for Peter, who denied his Savior in the garden, in the courtyard, even for Israel, who put this Jesus to death, even for you, who have fallen, stumbled, denied, this Jesus God has raised up and exalted to his right hand. Where is he now? He's right here among us. For God's right hand is his ruling activity, which comes to us through word and sacrament, which brings the power unto salvation, to make you sure again and again, through water, through word, through bread and wine, this is your certainty. God has to give it to you again and again, day after day, week after week, because we keep on sinning. We keep on seeing doubtful things around us. Death, cancer, paralysis, tornadoes. We wait. Until. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Until. It may seem that the only thing certain is death and taxes when we look around us, because we're still waiting. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. God's plan is sure. He has overcome the most wicked of plans, the worst of sins, and has raised this Jesus up. And yet we don't see it with our eyes, because not all things have been put underfoot. Still, death is something that is real. It could be real for us today, tomorrow. Could be real for our loved ones. And our confidence remains the same as Jesus' confidence when he faced death. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I will not be shaken. We rest in the promise, the confidence that on the last day, God will declare for all the world that this Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Death will be no more, pain will be no more, and all our sorrows will be put to an end. Yes, a new saying lives on among us. Nothing is certain but the end of death and taxes. For God will make an end of it all. He has declared this Jesus both Lord and Christ forever. God is sure. Your salvation is assured. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.